Hello and welcome to a special REIT Week edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito, and we're recording this on June 6, 2018. Today I'm joined in New York by REIT portfolio managers Laurel Durkee from Cohen & Steers and Scott Craig from Eaton Vance to talk about some of the main REIT issues from an investment perspective. Welcome to you both. Laurel, let me start by asking you, what are some of the key messages you are listening for from REIT management this week?
Great, thanks Sarah. I think whenever I'm attending a NAREIT, I'm always looking for three main things, and that's really gonna surround fundamentals, the state of the credit market, and capital formation. I think capital formation and potential M&A activity is especially important at this point in time, just given where REIT valuations are and some of the activity that's been unfolding in the space over the past several months.
Yeah, I agree with all that. The other thing I'm really looking for is, I think this cycle is getting a bit long in the tooth, and so I'm really on the alert for companies that are taking on too much risk at this point in the cycle. An example of that would be a large speculative office building. I don't think this is the right time to put a shovel in the ground on a big spec project, so I'm watching for companies being moderate in their risk taking at this point.
And Laurel, you just mentioned REIT valuations. What impact is that having on the industry right now?
Well, I mean, I think if you look across the board specific to the actual REITs, you are seeing discounted net asset values and multiples versus historical trading ranges. You're also seeing REITs trade at discounted valuations versus the broader equity markets. You're seeing REITs trade at, the yield spread for REITs versus the Treasury is also trading at a historically attractive level. So I think across the board, what you're seeing is that the REITs are very, very attractive, and that is leading to some of the M&A that I was referencing earlier. To the extent these REITs are going to continue to trade at significant discounts to their net asset value and the private market value of their real estate, I do believe you're going to continue to see some of the private capital that has been on the sidelines, which is upward of, $200-300 billion looking to invest in real estate. You're going to see that come into the public markets and perhaps privatize more of these companies. And we've seen it across the board. We've seen it in net lease, we've seen it in industrial, we've seen it in hotels, and now it's rumored to be occurring within student housing. And so I think it's something that's going to continue to unfold and will really be a floor for these values on a go-forward basis.
We agree that REIT valuations are very attractive, and in addition to managing a real estate fund, I'm a member of a large cap value team. We're overweight REITs in our large cap value fund because we just think on a relative basis they're very attractively valued. I will say I think there's a, while it's good for those who own the stocks that they're cheap, there is a negative effect on the companies, which is that most REITs are not really in a position to issue equity at attractive prices and deploy that capital on acquisitions or developments. And so REITs a little bit are at a standstill in terms of deploying capital just because they can't really make good sense of issuing equity.
And Scott, looking more broadly, what do you anticipate in terms of REIT fundamentals for the remainder of this year?
I'm expecting sort of steady as she goes. I'd say we generally have equilibrium of supply and demand. So you've got positive but modest rent growth, and I would expect that to continue.
And Laurel?
I do agree with that. I would say the one thing I would add is that REITs have not been a direct beneficiary from some of the tax reform that has unfolded that has been more of a benefit to the broader equity market. We do believe that there will be a lagged impact for the REITs that could potentially show up towards the latter half of this year.
And Laura, would you say that foreign capital is as much a factor in the market as it was before?
At this point in time, I don't think it's as big of an impact from what I'm seeing and from what a lot of the management teams are saying. What you're seeing is that China is essentially out of the market, and that is having a slight negative impact on some of the valuations and more of the gateway cities. But otherwise, I would say you're still seeing foreign capital looking to deploy, just maybe not as intensely as they had over the past several years.
Yeah, we'd say foreign capital ebbs and flows, and it is perhaps down a little bit from where it might have been a year or two ago, But an offset to that is all the private equity that Laurel mentioned before. There is a couple of hundred billion of dry powder sitting on the sidelines waiting to be deployed. And to the extent foreign capital does dry up a little bit, that private equity capital will certainly fill the gap.
And finally, Laurel, do you expect the existing trends that we've seen in terms of outperformers and underperformers in the REIT industry to remain in place?
Well, again, there's always going to be an evolution and there's always going to be change occurring. When I'm looking at the overall REIT space, I'm trying to understand what the cyclical and the secular drivers are for the individual property types. So when I'm thinking about secular changes, I do think they're going to be more permanent and long-term in nature, and that's going to be what's playing out on the demand side for cell towers and data centers and industrial, and from a more negative perspective, the evolution of the retail landscape and what's been happening there. Again, with these secular changes, I do believe that we're in the early to mid innings of these changes for the property types, and that's going to continue to impact the space over the next, you know, intermediate to long term. With regard to some of the cyclical things that you're seeing with, you know, supply, elevated supply levels in storage or urban apartments or healthcare, that's something that obviously will be more of an ebb and flow, and we will see that change. One of the things that we're excited to look out on the horizon is the demographics and the aging population and the positive impacts that's going to potentially have on the healthcare space. And so there's always going to be something around the corner, and that's one of the most fun things when looking at real estate and looking at the trends that are out there, is trying to understand what those are, because it's never going to be, in my opinion, static.
From our perspective, we tend to have a sort of a permanent quality bias in terms of companies, but from a sector perspective, we definitely have a contrarian streak. So when a sector has lagged other sectors of the REIT industry, when stocks are trading at a big discount to NAV, and when sentiment is negative, we tend to want to be overweight those stocks. And on that basis, we really like apartments and retail right now, and we're less positive on hotels and industrial just because of sentiment and valuation.
Thanks to both of you for joining me here at REIT Week, and for more news and information from REIT Week, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.